Coming up on TMS, he who controls the VPN controls the universe.
A corpse is a corpse, of course, of course. I am medical ed.
Mi corazón es herblego.
ABC, always be checking toilets.
Straight A's in blood class.
I'm thinking the chode area.
There's a snake in my loo.
Hey, it's mini, but it gets the job done.
Switched at conception.
I don't like my candy with weed.
What if Jokey watched Parasite?
It's J.K. Grammer's fault.
Maze. That's corn, right?
But clinching moments with Bill.
Donate your body to sexy science with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Most officers would have thrown you in the brig.
Most nurses would have gone on to someone else instead of keeping their fingers plugged in your artery.
The Morning Stream, shoving hobos and sucking the cheese since 2011.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It is November 9th, 2021. It's a Tuesday, and I'm Scott, and he's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, man.
It's day two of Tina being out of town for a conference, and I still have not burned down the house.
How do you... Okay. So are you like me? The first day or so is pretty fun, and then after that, you're like, oh, my gosh, get home. I hate it.
No, I mean, pretty much the whole time, it's like, this is fun, but hurry up and get home.
That's how
like
I am.
There's no shift. It's like always that.
That first day, I always think, oh, man, this will be like when I was a young
You know? I'm going to have so much fun playing video games.
Yep. And cooking for myself and eating what I want and all this. And then about 3 hours into it, I'm like, oh, please come home. Don't be gone. Yeah, that's how it always
is. Yeah, no, it's I guess bittersweet, but there's not as much sweet. You know, it's like, all right, well, you know, for an hour, it's fine to get to watch a horror movie that I don't normally get to watch when she's home. Which
Ooh, part are you
of,
doing what, that?
What's going to be my, what's going to be my, one of my recommendals this week is going to be a horror movie that, that I've been wanting to watch. I've had on my list. And every time I say, you want to watch blank? She goes, no, it looks too scary.
Hold on a minute. This doesn't... I also have a horror movie this week, so it...
Do you?
It's not a found footage documentary style horror. It's not a real documentary, but found footage. Is it, by chance?
No. I think I know what you're talking about. No.
Okay.
Good.
We're good.
Nope.
We're
this safe. Is something older that... it's possible... Some of these things on the list have been on there for so long. I don't know if maybe you or Nicole recommended it, but in any case, whatever. I don't think we have any hard fast rules. Say, no, Nicole already recommended this. You're not allowed to.
Yeah, I mean it makes sense if it's week. If it's like the very next week, sure, yeah, maybe
right,
that's an
exactly.
Issue,
but... You know, you can't recommend Money Heist tomorrow.
No, but if it's years apart, who cares? It's fine.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh man, Money Heist.
Money Heist.
Money Heist just broke my heart with the episodes I watched last night. Broke my heart.
Oh, geez. In Spanish,
a
even.
Character, yes, it broke mi corazón.
Oh, why was
because
that?
Because I don't know the word for broke.
Yep. I mean, in high school, this has to be the truth, right? In high school, the word heart in Spanish, when you took Spanish class, I swear was like the chief word you would learn. For some reason... Heart.
That's an early one, yeah.
It was always there. So the teacher would get up and go, my heart is breaking. Mi corazón es el brequio, or whatever she'd say.
Rompe, apparently. Things pops in recline. Rompe mi corazón.
There you go. And so that's what we learned. And we retain nothing else from Spanish
class. It's true.
Yeah,
it's true.
White boys in the Utah area did not.
That's such a good show. It's so, so good. But man, rough episode last night.
Wow. All right. And you're almost done with that thing, right?
Like it's. I am. I'm halfway through season. I think I'm almost all the way through season four. Almost. I think I've got maybe one or maybe two episodes. Then there's season five, first half. And then season five, second half, I just found out doesn't come out till next month. So.
Oh.
Yeah. I thought the whole thing was out and done and completo, but it is, it is not.
Completo, yeah.
Completo.
Yeah.
Finito.
Finito. Yeah, there we go. Italian again. Yes. Well, very good. Let's dive into it today. Real quick here, rest in peace, Dean Stockwell. Passed away this
morning.
Oh, I
didn't hear about that. Oh, man, bummer.
Yeah, your Quantum Leap guy.
Grishy, get me out of here.
He was nominated for an Oscar for one of the Godfathers? No. What was it? Some famous mob movie he got. Was it Goodfellas? No. I
forgot he was in the original Dune. Aw.
Oh, Dean Stockwell was? I forgot about that. Yeah, he's awesome. And he was in Battlestar Galactica for a bunch of seasons and was very good in that.
Right. Yeah.
He's just great. And Married to the Mob. That's what I was thinking of. Married to the Mob.
Dude's been around for such a long time. One of his earliest things, like his first year he was acting, he was in Abbott and Costello in Hollywood.
Oh,
I mean,
Lord.
That tells you how long.
Yeah, that's a long
Stockwell's
time.
Stockwell's been doing stuff.
85 years old. 85. And it's sad because he's great. That guy was awesome. But apparently it was a very, natural causes sort of drift off in your sleep sort of death. Nothing painful or awful.
Good.
Which, it's just the best we can all ask for. So well done. And we didn't even talk to him.
We didn't mention him. This is right.
Yeah.
I mean, long time ago, I've talked about the Sam and Al and Gushy and.
So hold on, is he Al?
He's Al.
Okay. Yeah. I always
Sam
wanted
Beckett
to...
never returned home until we reboot the series in 2023.
There you go. 70-year career, says TV's Travis. That's a long ass time. For anybody to be working, I guess
we've
seen
him
really
in at least one. Well, we saw the original Dune, so we saw him in that, and then we also saw him in Beverly Hills Cop 2. Did we? We did watch Beverly Hills Cop 2, right?
We did, I believe so. Yeah. Didn't he also? He was a army guy in something we saw. Oh, FilmSec stats is down. Why?
Oh, interesting.
Hold on. .com. Let me make sure I put that in right. Oh, no, it's coming up now. Okay. We're okay. Everything's fine.
Okay.
I don't think it lets me search by actor. But anyway, the we did something where he's like in the... It just
ran past me. He's like the Secretary of State or something, or maybe he's...
Oh, really?
Yeah. What's the movie, though, where they're all... Glenn Close is now the acting president... And he's like in the room, and they're always on the speakerphone, hoping for good news. Oh shit! It's a bad disaster.
Is it Dave?
No, not Dave.
Oh, Air Force One.
Air Force One. It's Air Force One.
Listed. Oh, there he is. He is in Air Force One. Yep.
There you go.
Yep.
And he was the one that wanted
Walter Dean.
He wanted to shoot the plane out of the sky, and she was like, "I'm not ready to make that decision," and that whole thing. Yeah. Air Force One.
He was also in The Legend of Billie Jean, which I think we saw.
Did we?
With both Helen and Christian Slater.
Let me see if that's the case, because I don't remember Billie Jean.
You don't remember seeing that? Maybe we didn't see that. We should see it.
We have not done that one, looks like. Okay. We should. Why not? Let's do it. Put it on the list. Mm-hmm. Before someone moves Catwoman, put it on.
I've moved Billie Jean.
All right. A couple of quick emails at the top of the show just to, because why not? We like to check in with you guys, see what's going on. John G. wrote in. Mm-hmm. He says, this is regarding the pot candy issue conversation we were having. Like, careful kid or careful parents.
Watch out. It's not razor blades now, it's pot.
Yep. He says, hey guys, just a quick drop in to say that the fear of kids getting pot candy is not really a thing. This is just fear mongering nonsense, like the myth about razor blades and candy that stalked us all in the 80s. No one, literally no one, confuses their weed candy with regular candy. First of all, it's way more expensive. You don't keep it in a candy jar. It is not some kind of special holder in your room or in a special holder in your room, not the kitchen, or hidden in a sock drawer. You get way fewer pieces per bag, and it looks nothing like the regular Halloween candy that you would recognize.
That part I disagree with, because we looked at the candy wrappers for some of the pot candy, and it looked just like.
But were they those are packages? Did we see an actual
I see what you're saying. I wonder. And what we were seeing wasn't like you know, when you buy Halloween candy, it's fun size this and minis that and that sort of thing. So that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess you'd have to, but still, if you had a big old bag and you ripped it open, you wouldn't know until you ripped it open, I guess.
Right. Right.
Then he says, you get way fewer pieces per bag. Looks nothing like a regular thing. You'd have to open up the bag that is clearly marked and empty unwrapped gummies into your candy bowl. This never happens, which I seriously doubt. It was on purpose, says John G.
Yeah, and the entire time we were talking about that, the chat room was saying, no, this never happens, it's too expensive, and I was reiterating that in the stream, saying, sure, yeah, it's too expensive, it's probably not going to happen. There might be the one situation where somebody's so high, they accidentally give out some weed candy, you know. I imagine there's an unsuspecting mom who said, oh, well, here's some candy I can give out for Halloween. Mm-hmm. But
this is lovely. She doesn't know it's her husband's secret.
But yes, it is. Yeah. It is, as we said on the show, I believe it's sensationalist. And
yeah. 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 But Shoujo makes a good point,
once,
too. Yeah. I mean, there's always outliers, right? Always going to be an outlier. Always going to be some extreme example. Exactly. But Shoujo says this person acts like all people are responsible. I mean, it's a good point. So you're gonna run into stuff. But this idea that it's like it's an epidemic of huge societal proportions where everyone's giving out pot candy. It's not happening. Mm-hmm. Neither did that razor blade thing. Neither did the Tylenol thing. None of these do. But society likes to panic and then overreact. And then overfix, overcorrect. That's what we do.
Roman Pa says, yeah, I know the difference all the time. So even when you're high, you can tell the difference. Yeah. Then I say you're probably not getting high enough.
You're not eating enough of your gummies, sir.
Right, exactly, yes.
Anyway, people freak out over nothing is the main thing.
If I'm going to take recreational marijuana, I certainly want to be, I want to take enough to where I would not be able to recognize the real stuff from a fake package of Cheetos from a real package of Cheetos.
Part of the reason people do it, though, is they do it because they know people are stupid and they know they'll believe anything because
why they put these articles in. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. That's why this stuff exists. Like this whole Big Bird, encouraging kids to get vaccinations, acting like it's somehow this insane move. Is just disingenuous. In 1976, he did the exact same thing. Big Bird telling kids to get vaccinated. Like, it's been a lifelong thing for stuff like Sesame Street. And it annoys me that people, because they just won't take 2 seconds to go, oh, I wonder if this is new, and then just look a little. Instead, they go,
exactly.
I'm so outraged! More than yesterday, where I was also outraged! I'll bet at 4 o'clock this afternoon, I'll be even outraged!
Even further outraged!
Everyone just calm the F down. Thanks, John G. And here's one from Jeff. Jeff wrote in, says, on blood types. Okay, and we got confirmation from this from Dr. Tolbert. Told us this as well.
Yes.
Says, FYI, you don't need your own blood type, or you don't need to know your own blood type. If you ever need an emergency transfusion, they'll just give you O negative blood. Everybody can take O negative. It is the universal donor. Most transfusions aren't emergencies, and even if you tell the doctor that what your blood type is, they're just going to check it anyway. So they're just going to check, they're going to do blood work.
Which makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. Says, because what if you told them wrong? Because I would. I don't even know what mine is. I'd probably lay it there.
Well, that's what he says in the very next sentence, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, that's true. So for instance, if you told them your blood type and you're wrong, but they gave you the blood based on that, then you had a reaction, then you would be liable even though you made the mistake, or they would be. That's the American system we have. I spent 10 years working in the ER as a physician's assistant, and we always get a blood type if it's needed. If we have an old one in the system. Yep, it's redundant, but that's the way it works now. Thanks for the entertainment, Jeff. Cool. Good insight. And universal
Tina
donor.
Tina did confirm for me, by the way, that I am a positive. Mm. So my blood is A+.
Oh, Brian's a very positive influence.
That's right. A+ blood. It got all straight A's in blood class.
Boom. In blood class. Some kind of vampire school you went to. I love it. Chat says I should know this because in Mad Max Fury Road, Mad Max, Max Rockentowski, or however the hell you say his last name, was a universal donor. And said so on his back. They tattooed on his back, and that's why he was the blood bag there. So good point.
That would be a fun tattoo, by the way. Like, insert and then your blood type here, and just have like a little circle, like it's a little gas tank.
By the way, that reminds me. Sorry, because I just put up the podcast has gone 0 days without a Dune and or Mad Max reference.
Oh, there's a new one for Dune, or yeah, it's a common one.
J.K. Grammer put an update on there, so now we put it up there. I think he has a third one, and I haven't put it up yet, but it's got Blade Runner on there also. But anyway,
oh, well, there we go. There goes that one.
Yeah, there goes that one. But what I was going to say I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, Dune. So somebody, do I have this handy? It's really funny. I think I do. You'll like this, Brian.
Okay.
So somebody's watching Dune on HBO Max. They have subtitles turned on. Some people just watch stuff with, you know, with subtitles on. Even if it's their language.
I saw this on Twitter. This is
Did you
great.
See this? Yeah. It's amazing. Yes. If I can find the effing thing, because I want to share this. This is too good.
Yeah. Does everyone? So everyone who watches it with subtitles sees that.
Yes.
That subtitle at that point.
Because apparently it was some sort of error. You know, something wrong with the captioning system in the, you know, on HBO side. And so here it is, chat. I'll put it up here. It says the headline somebody put on here is Paul's response at the end of Dune always gets me emotional. And so it's Zendaya, and she says, this is only the beginning. And then there's Paul Atreides, and it says, open subtitles recommends using NordVPN from 6.69 USD per month. OSDB.link.VPN.
It's really funny. Like it's even throwing in a VPN recommendation, almost like it's going to play a pop-up ad or something.
Yeah, it's too good. It's amazing. Yeah. And it made me laugh really hard. So there's that. All right. Thanks for your emails, guys. We love these. TheMorningStream@gmail.com. Always happy to get corrections, knowledgeable people in their fields. Yes. You know, if you're like,
for sure,
you're sitting around going, oh, I know a thing or two.
They got this wrong, and I want to tell them all about it.
That's right. When we're happy to, I don't care, man. Look, if we get something effed, I'm so happy to be corrected. I have no problem with it at all. I have no shame. Okay?
Yeah.
None.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Brian, it's time for this.
You need to read this, sir. You need to read it now.
All right. Speaking of disaster movies, hey, it's the news, and it's brought to you by...
Brought to you by Puzzled Pint. Tonight is Puzzled Pint night, so go to puzzlepint.com and see if there is a Puzzled Pint in your area. It's free to attend. You get a big stack of puzzles to do, and you can drink alcoholic drinks while you complete said puzzles. It's a lot of fun. Puzzlepint.com.
Very nice.
They did not pay for this sponsorship.
Oh, not at all. They're just chilling.
Puzzled Pint, not responsible for the content of the sponsorship.
I always like when you go, because then we get to hear what the cool questions were the next day.
Yeah, so tonight, the theme puzzle that we got to figure out where Puzzled Pint was going to be tonight is lighthouses. So I don't know if it's going to be like a Seven Wonders of the Ancient World or just stuff lighthouse-centric, or if that even has anything to do with it. So
I get, is it weird that I get a little teary in the song Lighthouse by Nickel Creek? Do you know the song?
I don't.
I am a lighthouse. Oh, it gets me every time. Every time. It's all about, it's the story told from the perspective of a lighthouse. Whoops, why is that up there? A lighthouse, and he witnesses this couple that fall in love around the white lighthouse, and they work there, and then something terrible happens, and it's a Gil's real sad at the end, and it makes me get
this
a little choked.
This is a song, not a Hallmark Christmas.
No, definitely
movie,
a song.
Right?
Definitely a song. She's an up and coming writer in New York City. He owns a Christmas tree lot down the road. Definitely not that. Oh, and that's starting around here, by the way. Kim is gearing up.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a big year for it. We got that weird 8-bit Christmas. I might actually watch that. With what's his name? Neil Patrick Harris is in that.
Okay.
You also got one of them with Mr. Kim is in there. That's an actual Hallmark one. Mm-hmm. And then what was the other one that I... Oh, and Katie Sackhoff's one. I think I'm going to see all three of those.
Wow.
Isn't that weird? Because I want to see
how
this
starts.
I want to see this crossover of my... These are all people in my wheelhouse, and now they're all going over here.
Yeah, you know? Now the Venn diagram, now the convergence begins, sadly.
Yeah, what's going to happen? All right, let's get to the deal here.
Okay.
Oh, I was going to tell you, it won't be my recommendal this week, but I started Long Halloween Part 1 yesterday.
Oh, that's the DC deal. Yeah.
Part two just came out, and I got really excited about it. And I'm here to tell you, I was a little nervous because I'm going in thinking, I don't know how I'm going to feel about one of those supernatural brothers being Batman.
Robin Paz's Parasite crying in the corner.
Yeah, Parasite always crying in the corner. I literally came really, if it hadn't been for those two new movies
next to Loki, What If, Jokey. You completing that series is going to be a Jokey.
Yeah, yeah. Will Loki end up a Jokey? Tune in to find out.
Jokin and Winter Jolger. Yep. And,
yeah, all the things I haven't seen. But anyway, what was my point there? I forgot.
Sorry, it was... The Long Halloween Part 2 just came out. You were watching Part 1.
Yeah, it's very good. I can't remember the name.
Close to clicking on Parasite again, I'm sure.
I did. It was super close. It was right. Hulu's right there by my icon. Yeah. My shortcuts, you know. So
technically, because it takes one click, we're all one click away from watching Parasite.
Well, technically, we're. Hold on.
Two clicks.
One click.
Maybe a click. A tap in a search field.
Yeah.
How many letters do you think it would take in Hulu to make Parasite the topmost item? Do you think just PA?
Let's find out. I'm going to run it.
Okay.
Right. Here we go. Whoops. This is just running a movie. Why is it doing
How many clicks does it take to get to the center of a Parasite watching?
All right. So I'm on the page. And I've got movies for you and a bunch of stuff and then, you know, all that. And it's not immediately jumping out. So... That means I have to do a search.
It's on your list. Just it was added such a long time ago.
Yeah, it was so long, you know. Okay, a quick PAR gets me Parasite.
Okay.
Right under Parks and Recreation. So I got Parasite. I click it. And then a third click for play, but that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's it. All right.
All right. So three clicks and three letter type things. So
yeah,
and six clicks total.
Chadron, look how close I am to. Let me show you the screen. Like right there, it is. Look at that button I could push right now. I could push that now. I am going to push it now. Look, I pushed it.
Oh,
let's see what happens.
Oh, you know what it's going to do? Now it's going to move it to the top of your. Would you like to finish watching Parasite?
It's going to do that, isn't it? Well, no, but that'll be there now. Yeah, it'll be up.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Up. Good.
All right, we'll see what happens. Shut that down.
You're gonna hate it. Now with all this, it's like there's nothing. There is no movie that can live up to all the hype that I've given Parasite.
I mean, it did win Best Picture. It's got to be.
Be there. It's very good, but
yeah, we'll see. Like if you put honestly, this would be hard for me, dude. If you put up for me and said, "Here are two movies from that director. Here's Parasite," and right next to it, the option is to click on Snowpiercer. I would have a hard time not clicking Snowpiercer.
Oh, really?
I don't know why.
Even though you've seen Snowpiercer and you've never seen Parasite.
Yeah, and I've seen the Snowpiercer like, what, four times or something? I don't know what my problem is. Part of it is everyone's telling me to do a thing, and I get, it's not rebellious, but I get like resistant.
It's human nature. Everybody does that.
It's like that with video games. Everybody's like, Scott, you need to be over here playing Final Fantasy 14 with us. And I'm like, do I though? Do I really?
I actually blame J.K. Grammer for my hatred of Breakpoint.
a game you're never going to play. He's never going to play it, James.
Because of J.K. Grammer right there. Yeah.
It's your fault, you dirty Texas native. All right, moving on. Here's a story.
Yeah, let's get to it. Let's get to it.
All right, here's a fun one. A house full of garbage. This is up near.
Not the band.
No.
Right. This is not Shirley Manson and Butch Vig aren't sitting in there going, "Oh man, sure like hanging out in this house."
Yeah, this house is great because currently it's full of garbage. No, this is an actual garbage house in near Toronto. It's full of garbage, boarded up on the doors and windows. Somebody put it on the market for 4 days, even though it was still stacked with all this stuff. Needs paint work, all this. It's a piece of garbage. $1 million. $1 million.
That's crazy because.
That's insane.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was listed for $899,000. The asking was $899,000, and it sold for $56,000 over asking.
Yeah.
And look at this thing, stacks of newspapers. This is like a tinderbox, is what this is.
Total hoarder house. Look at that thing.
It is.
Yeah, full of trash, garbage, magazines, rats, you know.
Yeah, cats. Probably a dead animal and a pet under all of this stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's just the fact that houses are so in demand still. right now, which is crazy.
Well, I think that's 100% it. Like the
the
weird market that is the current housing market, which is not exclusive to the U.S. It's everywhere right now. This to somebody this was a good deal, but see, like the house up the road from us when they bought it, literally four houses down from me, there's this house. It's a fine house. It's an average house here for the kind of neighborhood it's in. When they moved in there, they paid like $290 or something, maybe $300. And that would have been like 2014, 15. And they just sold that house for $890 to a California move in. $890,000.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
It's insane. I don't get it. Like, part of me is like, I should sell. And then the other part of me is like, no, you shouldn't, because then you got to find somewhere else.
You've got to buy a new place, and you're going to be in the same situation.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not doing that. We're fine the where we are.
Yeah,
in fact, if anything, we're just in a... We got good time. We have good timing on this sort of stuff. We never take advantage of booms, but we never get screwed by... What's the opposite of a boom? Crash?
Valley or crash. There you go.
Crash. There you go. We never get hit with those because we tend to buy at a conservative time and sell at a conservative time. And we never are late. You know, we're always super perfect on payment timing and all that stuff. So we have amazing credit, but we're boring because we're never going to be that person that went, I struck it rich yesterday and now my words are over. We're never going to do that because we're too like, no. Even though everyone's selling right now, what you do is you hold on because you need to, you know, it's a stability and burn.
Exactly. Yep. It's an investment for your kids.
For your kids, Marty.
For your kids.
It's your kids.
All right. Although,
so go buy that house if you're in Toronto. Or
but I have to admit,
house,
I mean, just think about it though. Like that would be like $650,000 on top of what we paid. It would easily pay for this house and probably the next house with cash.
You know, if you decided that, you know, we really just don't need this much space, we could go get a loft downtown or something like that. Then, you know, I know, right? That would be the thing that I would, do if I had to sell this house, be like, oh yeah, we'll just go get a loft downtown. We're right in the middle of everything.
I've told you before, I'm all about that. Distance. I'm that extreme or I'm on the other end. It's like, give me a farm
either
in the middle of nowhere.
Or...
yeah, exactly. Give me a desert trailer and no one ever sees me, or give me a loft downtown. I want one.
Yeah, you
of
want
those
the too. Extremes, nothing in the middle. I don't want like partial desert, partial city.
Yeah. Problem is these lofts downtown are like $750,000. To $1 million.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't think that'll be
I know what you need to do is win like a Frito-Lay drawing to get a new house.
Yeah.
You get the new house, then you sell the old house and you make lots of money, or you sell the new house or whatever.
There you
sell
go.
The house, you win.
Yeah. That's right. Tune in next week when we'll discuss more.
Let's go into that Frito-Lay drawing. That's how the Simpsons house in Henderson got.
That's still there? Still a thing?
It's still there, but it doesn't look like the Simpsons house anymore. They repainted it because they didn't want all the tourists driving through the neighborhood. I get it. You know,
how about internally though? Like the house inside, is it? Did they change all that or?
Oh, I don't know. I bet they changed inside and out.
You got to leave one room though, right?
Because I don't think the new owners really cared as much about the Simpsons as much as the people who won it just wanted to unload it. And
I see.
And to unload it, they needed to make it look more like the rest of the neighborhood, or else it would be, you know, tourists and stuff like that.
This is like constantly. This is like Pizza Roof Lady in New Mexico. It's like that,
right?
She doesn't want to be known
for a while. Like when we went there, she's sitting there in the garage waving at everybody who goes by, but now there's like a big old fence because too many people wanted to see Pizza House.
Yeah, or throw a pizza up there in the middle of the night or whatever they were doing.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, it's insane. Yeah. All right, well, moving on to this story. You know the Dutch. You've heard of the Dutch. You're familiar with
the Dutch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not Dutch the movie, you know, with...
No.
That guy. What's his name? Can't think of his name. Al Bundy.
Al Bundy, yeah, exactly.
That guy. Anyway, he's great.
Not Ed Harris.
O'Neill.
See, that's
Ed
the problem
O'Neill.
Is I was...
O'Neill.
Ed O'Neill, thank you. Yep.
That hurt. That was painful, actually. We got it before the chat, though. That's the important thing.
We did. We beat BioCal.
Yeah.
Boom.
So what was I saying? Oh, yeah. Dutch man was bitten by a snake on a toilet and now has undergone reconstructive surgery. Yeah.
Where did he get bitten, Scott?
I'm guessing the chode area is what I'm thinking. A man from the Netherlands who had to have reconstructive surgery on his penis after suffering a bite from a cobra while sitting on the toilet. The otherwise healthy 40- I know, right? A cobra is like, what are you doing?
I was just sitting on the toilet playing my flute, and all of a sudden...
My toilet is a basket. There was right, my flute going on. Exactly. It says the otherwise healthy 47-year-old was on vacation in South Africa at a nature reserve when the cobra struck from the toilet and clamped onto his genitalia. According to the details published in the urology case reports, the man waited 3 hours to be transported by helicopter to the nearest trauma center, some 350 kilometers away. After suffering what the medical journal described as the first case of snouted cobra and what?
Envenomation.
Envenomation. Holy.
Yeah.
All right.
They were responsible for the Master of the Universe cartoons back in the 80s.
Envenomation, yeah. You always knew it was them because the logo would go doo-doo-doo or whatever. And
that's right.
Like, oh, envenomation.
Envenomation of the genitals.
So the full thing is snouted cobra envenomation of the genitals, unquote. Woof. During the presumably torturous wait, the victim reported feeling a burning sensation in his genitals.
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah.
And it burns when I pee.
Yeah. And a pain that ascended through his groin to his flank, upper chest, and abdomen.
Damn. Oh.
Yeah. I don't think I could deal with this.
Hey, you know what? Wouldn't happen on a plane, Scott.
Nope. Nope. Well... But yeah, you're right. No.
Unless it's the Samuel Jackson plane.
Yeah, remember when the whole internet, that's all they wanted to talk about with that dumb movie back in 09 or whatever, when that was like the predominant conversation on the internet? Boy, how things have changed.
What a quaint time in our history.
Yeah. It doesn't even seem that long ago. It's like
no.
10, 11, 12 years ago is all, right?
But yeah.
Yeah. It's been that long? Yeah.
It's been that long.
09, I think. Well, you know, let's test my year knowledge here.
Okay.
Snakes on a plane year. See if I'm right. I'm wrong. 2006.
2006. You know what? You were closer probably than I would have gotten.
You just have to flip that six upside down. And
yeah, there you go. That's
that's how I did it.
Always do that. Always flip the nine and make it a six.
I have vertical dyslexia. It's my problem. Just kidding. I don't have that. Moving on. Let's. So this guy got bit. He got transported later. He looks like he's going to be okay. But. Good.
Jeez.
I don't know. I would just not. How do I put this? If you're in a place like a nature reserve or someone that's just really like big spiders and weird animals and snakes and bugs and all that, just check. Always be checking toilets. Just check them.
Yeah.
You know.
ABC. Always be checking.
Yeah. ABC. The simple rule. Just lift up the seat. Make sure some spider doesn't come crawling out of there. Look in the little hole. Make sure there's not a little snake down there. Because I'm guessing it wasn't in the water. It was like. Coiled up
in the bowl. Right. They're not, they can't breathe underwater, so he's probably just curled up in the bowl.
Yeah, Zoe says cobras aren't native to Holland. They weren't in Holland. He was at a nature reserve in South Africa. So it was like a trip. And I'm just, you know, even if I go to like St. George, I'm wary of scorpions and, you know, you got to just be thinking of this stuff, man.
You don't want to have to check every toilet.
No, don't check every toilet. Don't do that. Although,
I had the spider in my toilet not too long ago.
Did I tell you? Oh, wait.
By the way, that bathroom's all boarded up now.
I was going to say, did you just burn it to the ground and say we're done?
Yeah, now it's a closet.
That's fantastic. there is a, let's see if I can find it real quick. My kids put this in here. Here it is. This is amazing. All right. So hold on, pull that down. Okay. So in Animal Crossing, you might be familiar with it. In the new DLC, you can, oh, that's weird. It's turned upside down. Anyway, in the new DLC, you can you build and design homes for people on these islands. And it's a, you know, you meet new people or new animals, that is to say.
Right.
And there's a character called Lionel, but it's like a lion and he's got gray hair.
He might still be living on my island, yeah.
Yeah,
I have Lionel.
Others may, he may be in the game already.
No, it's just like a bunch of animal skeletons on my island, like in six feet of weeds.
Yeah, that's right. They're eating each other at this point. Somebody, I wonder who got eaten. Oh, no. Probably the pig. Yeah. Anyway, says you never have too many toilets when company's over, or you can never have too many toilets when company's over. That's his hint for how to design his house, is fill it with toilets. Yeah.
Just all toilets all the time.
Yeah. And then this morning somebody showed a image of what looks like a sexual aid.
The wand, the happy wand.
Is that real? That isn't real.
I don't know. I don't know if that's real or not. Happy Listen, wand. After that Bloodsport Redux trailer yesterday, I don't know what's real and what's not.
I have given up. The internet's made it impossible to tell. We just don't know anymore.
Some of these fan-made trailers are so good. They 100% look real.
Oh, here it is. What is the happy wand in Animal Crossing, and how do I get one? Oh, this is real.
You just have to build a sharper image on your island.
When you guys see that, is that the mushroom wand? Anyway, it is very phallic. It's like a, it's like a ding-dong dealio, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, huh.
I've been playing that game. Gosh, dang it. It's up all night going to islands and doing
I'm torn because I really enjoyed when I played it during the pandemic back in 2020. Yeah. Oh, wait, pandemic's still going on. Darn it.
That's the rule then.
But I just don't know if I want to get back. I don't know if I want to get back.
I understand.
People pull me back in.
I understand. Here's the thing, too, I would say. And you correct me if you think I'm wrong about this. But I think Brian's the kind of gamer that if there are community slash cooperative slash sort of multiplayer aspects, and in the case of Animal Crossing, visiting each other's island, working with each other on the turnip trade, all that kind of stuff, that is Brian's jam. Like, really like that sort of thing.
I don't care about the community stuff. Give me a campaign that I can play solo. If your game requires PvP, I'm out.
Yeah, well, and that's what I mean. It can't be like a head-to-head against each other. But the idea that you would leave your airport open all afternoon and let people come in and...
Oh, I mean, I'll do that. I guess I do that. That aspect of it, sure, just as like, take what you want, help yourself kind of thing.
Yeah, so in that regard, I don't know that this new DLC would be your jam because it's mostly working with other animals and it's a single-player kind of thing.
Yeah, which kind of is my jam. Like I don't want to be relying on other people to help me complete a task or like visit 11 people's islands to get advance to the next chapter or something like that. I don't want to have to do that. I actually this Marvel Future Revolution thing that I'm playing, if there's any sort of play Dimension Duel, go into the Dark Zone, which are all areas where you interact with other players, some PvP, some not. It's sure. I don't ever want this. I don't want it.
I feel you. Have you tried out the new Niantic thing, the Pikmin Bloom thing?
Pikmin. I installed it. I did the first day of like, look at that. I got a new thing. I'll plug them into the ground. And I haven't done anything since. Although the notifications keep telling me, you've walked 14.8 miles. Maybe you want to, hatch some of these Pikmin.
It says on there, let's see, grow your Pikmin, make flowers bloom, and keep track of your most precious memories all through the simple act of walking.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
terrible. It's like Pokemon without the catching or the battling or the raids or anything like that. It's like,
not really your jam. Well, they canceled their...
And so journaling. It's journaling with critters.
They announced this week or last week they canceled the Harry Potter Unite thing.
Yeah, it's going to end in December or January from what I hear, which is a bummer. I know a lot of people who moved to that, left Pokemon Go and moved to Wizards Unite, and I'm kind of sad for them because I know they really enjoyed that.
There clearly weren't enough people, I guess, I would assume. Mm-hmm. But what was the other? They also canceled something else. Niantic had something else they canceled. I forgot now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a similar thing, right?
Don't know what else they had.
Yeah.
Heathcliff? The Heathcliff game wasn't them, right?
Oh, the Catan game, right. KT Dage is right.
Oh, which never came out, did
no,
it?
No, they had some limited...
AR?
Limited market stuff, but it never came here. So it was one of those things you could probably sign up in New Zealand or something and play, but...
Probably, yeah.
I wanted to see what that was like. I was seriously curious.
Really curious about that.
But Ingress still going, so...
Yeah.
They kept that alive. So, but what I think happened probably is Nintendo bellied up and said, hey, you want to do a deal on this Pikmin deal? We're already doing great with the Pokemon Company and all this. You want to do this? And they said, hang on a second. Let us dump these other two things and do that. I think that's what happened.
Yeah, right, probably.
All right.
We don't have the server space. Sure, we can make server space. Server space Asciutto.
There you go. Asciutto.
Asciutto. That's actually my Starbucks order.
Oh.
It was a caramel Asciutto.
Do you get a Mecca Grande or whatever they call it? What's it called?
I get an Ariana Grande.
Or some other bunny-haired girl.
Right. I don't know. Lately, I just go there for the grounds, Scott. I just go there for the grounds.
You just go there for the grounds and read it for the articles. I understand. I do.
That's right. Accio. That's probably what I meant. It's, you know, I haven't read the books or anything like that in such a long time, and the Harry Potter stuff, so whatever. Sure.
It's been a long time, too, for me. And also, I don't know. She's a little weird right now. It feels like they're all... That entire franchise is just sort of suffering from dumb thing is she going to say, and I don't know.
Exactly.
Bumming me out.
Yeah.
California parents... sue after getting another couple's embryo. Oh, no.
Oh, the funny thing is they were just at an Arby's.
Yeah.
Ordered some potato cakes.
Yeah, ma'am, this is Arby's drive-up, he says to her.
Ma'am, we this is an embryo. Ask for the beef and cheddar combo, number three.
This isn't that. This is an embryo. Was I supposed to get an embryo? Just take it, please. Move up to the thing. Well, two California couples gave... Now this is crazy, actually. This story goes places. Two couples gave birth to each other's babies after a mix-up at a fertility clinic that spent months raising children. These couples spent months raising these children that weren't theirs before swapping the infants. That's weird.
This is like the setup to a 80s comedy.
Big time.
Switched at birth.
Yep, big time. And they got... So these kids were, months old. Does it say exactly how many months? Looks like they were both born in 2019. So these kids are Van's age.
A couple of years, yeah. Holy cow.
Almost three, I would think. Anyway, Daphna Cardinale said that her and her husband, Alexander, had immediately become suspicious that the girl she gave birth to in late 2019 wasn't theirs because the child had a darker complexion than they did. A little bit of the old...
Probably led to a little questioning on Dad's part too.
Yeah, Alexander's like, wait a minute, you've been...
By the way, we'll have to come back to what I just found out in the chat room after this story. But I'm hearing that Arby's doesn't have potato cakes anymore.
When did this? Hold on,
I don't know. But let's. Do you want to tackle that now? Or
we're going to call it breaking news. Breaking news, everybody. Beep 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 beep. Hold on,
Barry Canada.
Okay, moving on. Oh, we didn't do that for the Toronto story. So sorry, Canada. Let me just one more time. Why is my mouse not working? Hold on a second. 1, 2, 3. Okay, my mouse just lost its freaking mind. There it is. All right, Canada. Sorry, we love you guys. I just wanted to make that mention. Okay, why? Why no potato cakes?
Arby's is discontinuing their potato cakes, and do we have a date? Did this already happen?
Man.
Thrillist. Arby's, as of May 25th, Arby's has discontinued its potato cakes. Some people online have said they're still on the menu at their local shop. You can see them on the fast food chain's online menu, but they aren't going to be around for long. Let me see if it's on... Yeah, I don't see them on the current online menu, so more potato cakes.
They don't have the cordon bleu either, says
That's been a long time, though. I mean,
has that been a while? I don't remember.
Yeah, it's been a while.
They got pretty good Euros.
Yeah, the Euros are good, and I still like their French dip, but... They don't sell a bag of salad, so I can't go there anymore.
I forgot to tell you this. Well, I didn't forget. I put it on Twitter, and then I forgot to tell it on the show. I should have saved it for the show, but we went through for Carter. Carter likes Panda Express. She's in the chat. I don't know why she likes it. But we go through there, and the girl's voice comes on. Hi, welcome to Panda Express. Why not try, or feel free to try our crispy almond chicken today. What can I get for you? And Kim goes, actually, I think we'll try the crispy almond chicken. And the girl goes, I'm sorry, we're all out of crispy almond chicken. Now, normally you'd say, well, wait, was that a pre-recording? Because sometimes they have the pre-recorded.
Yeah, right. Because then you hear the weird voice. You hear the first voice. And then there's, well, Arby's, what can I get for you?
Right. Right. And it didn't do it this time. It was the same lady. So either she's the recording voice, which is possible. Yeah. Probably do it on a per-store basis. Or it was her and she's just... reciting what she's been saying all week and then kind of forgot that they're out and then whatever.
Right.
But
it happened that quickly. Yeah. Like Try some of our almond chicken. Oh, yeah. The last order just got purchased. Yeah. Sorry.
It's like buying a Series X or a PlayStation 5 on a website. It's like, well, you're in the cart, but if you didn't click fast enough, we're just going to tell you they're out.
Exactly, yes.
But it made us laugh, and I wanted to pursue it further, but Kim wouldn't let me. I wanted to keep asking hard questions, and she was like, no.
Yeah.
Shut up. We're just going to get what we're getting.
You should have started saying, all right, well, then just give me a Whopper and just started naming things that you know they don't have. And let's see how far you can take this.
There's a really mean one going around TikTok where this guy pulls, not mean, but he pulls up to a drive-in. It's a Mexican fast food of some sort. I don't know where. It's not Taco Bell. But The person answers and has a slight accent, Spanish accent. And so he says, oh, do you speak Spanish? And they go, yes. And he goes, okay, well, I'll have a taco and a something-something burrito. Doesn't say anything in Spanish.
Okay.
And the girl goes kind of blank, like, why did you ask if I, what are we doing? I think she thought he was going to, like, order in Spanish.
Right, order in Spanish, right. Like, yeah.
It was, the guy was mean, I thought. It felt mean. I could be wrong. Anyway, so this couple, this is great. So,
the embryo couple.
Yes. Yeah, the embryo couple. They had these suspicions and, she was overwhelmed, she says, by feelings of fear, betrayal, anger, and heartbreak during a news conference when her husband announced a lawsuit. I was robbed with the ability to carry my own child. I never had the opportunity to grow and bond with her during pregnancy. To feel her kick. Their complaint is accuses the Los Angeles-based California Center of Reproductive Health, or the CCRH, and its owner, Dr. Ellen Moore, of medical malpractice, breach of contract, negligence, and fraud, and demands a jury trial and seeks unspecified damages. If that was you, this was you, and you found out that you're even a few month old kid.
Yeah.
Let's say 5, 6
months.
Yeah,
that would be
kid.
The tricky part, right? Because This isn't even switched at birth. This is switched pre-birth, well before birth.
Yeah, well, but embryo. Well, wait. No. Wait.
Yes.
Yes.
Like they switched it in vitro fertilization. They They got a fertilized egg from her egg, fertilized it, and then accidentally gave the embryo that was growing to another, like basically swapped them.
And the sucky bit is that you probably formed bonds and connections with this kid.
Yeah,
with the new yours.
Right, with the child you technically gave birth to.
Yeah. So the only way this turns out happy, in my opinion, is if these kids get to hang out sometime during their lifetime.
Oh, yeah, with each other. There you go. Yeah. That's probably the,
you know.
Hello, boy, would you be like, oh, man, the Jackson's kid is so much nicer than ours. he could have been ours.
We shouldn't have shook that tree. We should have just kept the one we had.
Exactly.
But the idea of those kids hanging out and being friends and the parents like dropping, the, you know, because they're not mad at each other. They didn't do this to each other.
Right.
It was a screw up at the hospital. But, you know, I want for them is to be happy.
How long, like just born, you probably say, oh, yeah, switch them now kind of thing. Right. Yeah. Like, you know, okay, I didn't get to experience my own child. My own eggs product in my belly.
Yeah.
But 2 years, it's like, no, we'll just keep the one we've got. It's like Circuit City getting your computer wrong.
Yeah.
That's all right. I'll just keep it. I've been using it for 2 years.
It's totally I'm fine. Used to it now. Well, it was supposed to be a Mac. It's fine. I'm used to Windows. It's fine. I'll hang on to it.
Yeah, it's fine. They sound alike, right?
Sidian saying the most brutal thing I've ever read. I say we drown both the children and start over from scratch, like store credit from the hospital or something.
Jeez. Sidian, are you really Dice Tomato using Sidian's avatar chat name?
He's Insidian.
It really is. I didn't order a Whopper, but I'll eat it anyway.
Yeah,
that's exactly.
Anyway. Yeah.
So how long would be, what would be the cutoff where you'd say, you know what, we'll just raise the child we've got? Like, you know, just born, you'd probably say, yeah, switch.
I feel
before
like,
we get too attached to the opposite child.
I feel like a year, maybe. I mean, I don't know, dude. The problem is this. It's like, at the end of the day, your job as a parent is to take this infant, soon to be toddler, soon to be child, soon to be young person, eventually a regular functioning human in society. Your job is to raise them to the best of your ability. And where the egg or the sperm came from is not irrelevant. But it's not all that relevant. You're really just talking about an opportunity to nurture. There's no actual value in the blood connection that we assign to it. I mean, I think it's impossible for us to separate ourselves from that. And I'm not actually saying this is even possible for people to feel this way, but it does seem like, you know, people adopt all the time, but they do that under the auspices of, yes, we're adopting. We know that.
Yeah, we know that we're adopting. We know this child isn't ours, as opposed to, oh, well, the child we thought was ours is not really ours, even though it gestated in my belly for however long.
And Claire's right. There are genetics involved, but genetics can genetics doesn't mean that there's a bunch of surprises. Genetics means you have a different genetic makeup. Okay, well, you get checked and they say, oh, I don't know. Like at this point, you'd know that the mistake was made, but you've stuck with the kid you've got. So if you find out the other family has a history of something, well, then you prepare for that. And you know.
Right. If it were the Royals, it would make a bigger difference. But I think.
But even though
they're not part of the true genetic line.
They're all inbred anyway over there, right? Aren't they all like.
That's the story anyway.
Yeah. Aren't their eyes a little too close together or something like that? Someone's got like a third nipple on their back. Jeez, the queen's got like a hand on her hip or something weird.
Yeah.
All right. Do you think she wakes up in the night and yells Philip now because she misses him?
I don't know.
She probably does.
I mean, they were all in separate rooms on different wings of the Buckingham Palace. So.
That's true. They were never together. They were together long enough to poop out Big Ear Joe and
to make a Charles.
Yeah, to make a Charles.
I believe tonight is the night we'll make a Charles, and then we're done.
Let's make a Chuck.
Philip, you stay on the other side of the castle. Philip.
That's right.
All right. Moving on to taking a break. We're taking a break now.
Okay. All right.
When we come back, Bill Durant will be here. It's time to learn all about the maker world and find out what he's been up to and see maybe if it'll inspire some of you at home on what you might want to make next. And after that, we'll have a little science with Bobby. Stick around for all of that after this song selection from the vast library of Brian Nibbitt music.
We're gonna go to Rhode Island for this one. You wouldn't think there'd be a lot of bands on Rhode Island because it's so dang small. You can barely, you have to step into another state to turn around. But there is a pop punk quintet there called Another One Down with an exclamation point at the end of it. These guys definitely inspired by bands like The Offspring and Bad Religion. Blink 182, Sum 41, 5 Seconds of Summer, just other bands with numbers in their names. Anyway, these guys have a brand new release called A Bitter Descent. This is the lead single on it, and it's called Deadweight. Here's Another One Down.
We'll see you when you get back from image enhancement camp.
Spare me your euphemisms. It's fat camp for Daddy's chubby little secret.
You promised you wouldn't make a scene.
Hey, we...
As Shakespeare said, shit happens. This is the Morning Stream.
All right, we're back. That song again was?
That's the brand new band, Another One Down, their new album, A Bitter Descent. That's the lead single, Deadweight.
Nice.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Another
song. You know, it was brought to my attention by a listener and friend, Chris Brown.
What's up?
That very often on this show and in life, I will say the phrase, what's funny about that is, and then I'll follow that with something that turns out isn't that funny.
Mm. Funny, ha, so, like funny, strange, not funny, ha ha.
Funny,
though.
Strange, yeah. Funny, ha ha, or even something that's just not that funny.
Yeah.
And so it's now upon the shoulders of Jamie, Mashup Man Jamie, or not Mashup Man Jamie, Mashups, TMS Mashups Jamie.
Yeah.
Let's not confuse him with Sebastian. I'm even wearing a shirt today. Look at that.
See? Oh, look at
TMS
that.
Mashups,
oh, hey.
Right there.
All right.
TMS Mashups.
Nice.
It's on him now to find a bunch of my, you know, what's funny about that is blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I didn't realize you said that, but now that you said it, I can hear it. I can hear you saying it.
Yes.
Yeah. But not that I don't really remember it that often. So you must not do it that often.
What he did is at dinner, he pointed out me actually, like I said it at dinner the other night.
Oh.
We were over at his place for dinner.
Yeah.
And he said, by the way, you know, you say that a lot. I'm like, what? I say one line. He's like, you say, what's funny about that is, and then you follow it.
This is what's great about friends. They tell you the
yes,
truth.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. He's like, oh, you got a bug hanging out of your nostril. Also, you say, what's funny about that is.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. Those are the things Chris Brown does for us.
Yes.
All right. Now this.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Look who it is all the way from the Pacific Northwest in the home of punishprops.com. It is Bill Duran joining us as he does every Tuesday now. Hi, Bill.
Hello and good morning.
You know, I realized it used to be Tuesdays before, so this is a familiar space for you. This is a nice, you know, this is a seat with a bum, a bill shaped bum space that you can just sit in.
Yeah, but the
bill shaped bum space.
But there's an empty jury shaped bum seat right next to me.
I know,
Mr. Me and Jerry on Tuesdays.
Mr. Too busy for Tuesdays. Too busy for Tuesdays with Justin Robert Young. Everybody, I know he's got a lot going on, and I respect that. He's got so much going on. He had to just, you know, excise a couple of the daily things out of his life so he could focus more. I think that'll be good because we'll all benefit from whatever cool stuff he's working on, and it'll all be good. But
now that you mentioned that, he was in a dream I had last night.
Whoa.
Very briefly.
Oh, okay.
I went to use my bathroom, and the shower curtain next to the toilet popped open. And there was Jerry.
What'd he say?
Fully clothed.
Yeah. What'd he say?
He was just hiding in there.
So he didn't say it and didn't have anything to say. He just sort of.
Hello, friends.
Yeah.
Hello.
Forgot about that until just now.
Yeah.
That's great.
See, and then by the end of the conversation, he sees if he can quit before you do, that sort of thing. Okay. Well, good. That sounds like a fun thing that you had that dream. So now we can talk about making things that are dream worthy. Bill, what is going on in the world of makers this week?
I have been getting a lot of practice with my lathe. I have a couple of lathes, but this is my metal working lathe, a machine lathe. And it's great. It's really unlocked like a world of potential as far as the things I can make, specifically because you can use it to work on metal.
Mm.
Now I have the smallest, cheapest lathe that money can buy. So if you're looking to get into this world, you don't have to like commit and buy a giant South Bend lathe and convert your house to 240 power or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I got this cheap little lathe. I bought it used. And it came with a bunch of tools because you have the lathe, which is basically a spinning chuck that holds your material. Mm-hmm. And then there's a tool holder where you put like pointy tools in it. And then you very precisely smash those tools into your work until it looks right.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought you can't have a lathe without the tools, right? In fact, the tools are the lathe part.
The lathe is really just like a thing that holds a piece of material and spins it in a concentric circle.
Okay.
Yeah, and then there is for a wood lathe, you have a little rest where you hold a chisel basically, and just manually sort of smush it into the material. But a machine lathe, has a set of screws and the tool holder that you move very precisely.
Gotcha.
So you're not holding it directly with your hands. You're turning knobs to move this tool in and out. And there are different shaped tools, different profiles that you can swap in and out to get very specific outcomes.
And the goal is
different flavors you can get.
Yeah. With, and with those, you're doing, metalworking and more precision based stuff. Okay. All right. That makes sense.
So, and there's obviously a ton to learn about lathes. YouTube is awash with a ton of great information. And lathes can be dangerous. Could point that out. The bigger they are, the more dangerous they are. So it's worth learning a lot before you dive in, especially all the safety stuff. The most obvious thing would be you don't want any loose clothing, any long hair, or hoodie drawstrings. Every hoodie I have, I have removed the drawstrings. Because that's the one-way ticket to getting drawstrings stuck in there, and then your head is on a one-way trip into that spinning chuck, and nobody wants that.
It's just going to pull you right in like those Cabbage Patch dolls that ate hair.
And this, I don't know if I've ever asked you this. What is your closest call to a real accident with machinery like this? Have you ever had one where you're like, oh, man, that was one hair pull away from death?
I have been incredibly careful. Mm-hmm. I don't think I have anything... There's like some butt clenching moments. I mean, every once in a while, like my handle, like a fingernail get nicked by the spinning chuck or whatever, and I'll be like, oh, right, keep my fingers away. Yep. Mm-hmm. But I haven't had any close calls. I tend to lean on being way, 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 way too safe. I've still never still haven't got any stitches yet in my entire life.
Oh, no broken bones, no stitches. That's fantastic. Okay. Yeah.
No cavities either. That's not relevant, but I'm very proud.
That's it. I'm hanging up now.
No cavities and no lathe accidents.
Dirty bastard. I wish I was you. That's great.
I did have to have part of my tooth glued back on because my brother hit me in the mouth of the golf club.
Yeah, but it was your twin, and it's almost like you did it to yourself. So
it's true.
Yeah, shame on you.
So the lathe, like, if you don't want to go buy a lathe, then you have to make a cylinder smaller. You can just put it in a drill, like a power drill, and then use a rotary tool in the other hand. And you can do some very rudimentary lathe work that way, basically just shaping a piece of wood or whatever.
Right.
That kind of gets the idea across. Yeah. But the lathe, in general... It takes cylinders and it makes them smaller,
chair legs,
in a very precise manner.
Yeah.
Yes.
With those designs and whatever. Do you use them for like trying to think of an example of something you might make like a lightsaber?
Handle. That is the first example I was going to go for because it's so obvious.
Mm. It's hilt.
Yeah. Cylinders of different diameters, right? That's basically what a lightsaber is.
Yeah.
The main reason why I'm just in love with this machine is because I can manipulate metal.
Yeah, metal.
I use a lot of brass, aluminum, and even steel on this. Even this little baby lathe I have can work on steel.
Does that make you a metallurgist or just a dude what plays with his lathe?
I think machinist would be the word, but I would hesitate to call myself a machinist yet.
Sure,
because you got to lose a ton of weight.
To be a machinist. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. What a weird movie.
Nice dig. It's good.
You can obviously a metal lathe. You can use softer materials too, wood, plastic, all that sort of stuff.
Sure.
Now I use mine mostly for making prop stuff. Again, lightsabers, the obvious choice. And I recently made a lightsaber, and I use that lathe.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Came in very handy.
Yeah. Have you? Any particular brand of, like, should you watch out for certain brands of these things? Are they all kind of the same? You know.
So the little one that I have, if you look up mini lathe on YouTube, you'll find a bunch of videos about it.
Yeah.
There are a bunch of different brands that make basically the same thing. Micromark sells one. You can get one at Harbor Freight. I don't know what brand mine is. But there's a bunch of them, and they all are basically the same thing. They're all basically pretty okay. They're cheap, but they'll get the job done, especially for smaller projects.
Yeah, and I assume you can get them anywhere. Go to any
and place. And before you go buy one, look on Craigslist, look on Facebook Marketplace, because it's the sort of thing that people get rid of. And like I said before,
they need it for one project. They do that project, then it's like, oh, what am I going to do with this damn thing?
I'm going to use this so much, and then it sits in the on the shelf for 5 years.
Sure.
I like I said, I got mine used, and it came with a bunch of tooling, which is really handy. Because when you're getting started, you generally don't know what you need. So mine came with a bunch of extra stuff. And then as I use it, as I learn what I what other things I need to do the specific tasks that I want to do. So actually, last week, I learned a lot on my lathe. I learned that I'm really bad at sharpening the tools and bits. I'm just very bad at it. So you can buy, instead of tools that you have to sharpen, you can buy tools that have... where the pointy part is removable. Mm. It's got a little carbide insert that you remove. So I just bought a crap load of those and threw away my sharpener because then...
Cheaper just to replace it than to sharpen it.
Yeah. So that's what I'm all about. But that's me, you know, and I had to learn that over... I've had this thing for years now, and I sort of learned that over time.
Mm.
I used it to make my... I made a Hellboy bullet, the big giant bullets for the Samaritan. I made one out of brass and aluminum.
Oh, right. Yeah, remember that.
Yeah, and a little project like that is a perfect example of something that you could pretty much only make on a lathe. And I am currently making a pair of Ghostbusters Ecto goggles. So it's got the lenses. I believe in the for the prop in the movie, they made those out of microscope parts. But I didn't know that.
That's awesome. So they have to be. The point of those is they're long, right? They're kind of extended out from your face or whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Those are cool.
So I got some aluminum bar stock and made myself some lenses. It's got knobs all over it, some funky cool knobs with neat knurling on it there, and I made all of those from scratch out of aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
Very satisfying. It's the kind of work that I'm really, really into. It takes a while. You have to be very precise. You got to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
But the end result, when it comes out like exactly the way you want it to, so good.
These look complicated. I'm looking at just even toy versions of those goggles, and they don't.
Oh, yeah, like a hard one. It's the kind of project where, like, a few days into it, you're like, wow, this is a lot more than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Honey, I'm selling the lathe.
Get it up on Facebook Marketplace. Well done. This looks like loads of fun. I want to mess with a lathe. My dad used to have one when he passed away. I don't know who took it, but someone took it and sold it, and I would have loved to have kept it, but it was gone. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. If you guys want to follow, of course, all the machinations of what Bill does with these tools and what comes out the other end, check out punishprops.com. Hey, Bill, do you have a bonus link for us this week?
Do I ever? All right. The folks over at Hacksmith, the YouTube channel Hacksmith, they've been making a full-size, very real power loader from Aliens.
Oh, wow. Full-size.
Yeah. What?
Oh, yeah. And they have just finished it. There's a whole series. I've linked to the last video they did. It's the most legitimate thing I've ever seen.
Oh, my gosh. It works? Like, functions?
Yeah. It's all... It's built off of a cat, what would you call it? I don't know, a piece of machinery that drives around. So it doesn't have legs. It rolls around on tank treads.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got the two big clampy looking arm things. It's all run on hydraulics and stuff.
Oh my gosh.
It's just bananas. They've been working on it for 3 years and it's finally done.
That's really great. 3 years of work on that? Holy crap.
Yeah.
Oh, look at him getting all strapped in. This makes me
The clamp looks like they've got like soft things in the clamp, so it can pick up like a person in an alien costume and not really crush them.
Maybe.
I want to get my body anywhere near that, soft jaws or not, the thing can just crush you in half.
Yeah, that's really something. Have you ever? I mean, that scale of a project, it probably is tempting for you, right? But this be all could work on. Like, how do you know to?
Yeah.
How do you know to say no? House. Like, I would need to move.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
Joysticks. Like, look at that. Oh, my God.
Yeah. But you also have to get this voice down.
Bitch!
Yeah, I have to be able to say that. I had that handy.
That is, that's part of it.
Well, very nice. Go check that out, you guys. Again, that is Hacksmith Industries on YouTube. And you can watch this get built and watch the dude move around in it. which is freaking me out slightly. All right. Mm-hmm. Hey, Bill. That's it. Hey, Chinbeard on Twitter, you guys. follow him there and check out his channel and check out his stuff. Bill, we'll see you next week.
Alrighty. Bye.
See you, Bill.
It's pretty rad.
That is really cool. Oh, they went to a junkyard. They're like picking up cars or crunching the windows and stuff.
Yeah, pretty dang cool.
Bitch!
Cool. Oh, Carter, we need to... I think Carter's in the chat. She still needs to see Aliens. She's never seen it. She keeps avoiding. Really? She keeps avoiding movie night with me. I'm like, Carter, come on now. Let's go. Let's get it. Let's get it done. Oh. We need to make that happen. All right. What now? Oh, I know.
Bobby.
Hold on, here we go. I didn't realize we have two people on Tuesdays that both have King of the Hill character names.
Bobby, I'm kidding.
We got Bill. We just need a Boomhauer, and everyone's happy. All right, here's your...
And then our lives are complete.
Here's your fun intro.
Science.
Science is right, and damn it, Bobby's here to give it to us. Bobby Frankenberger, welcome back to the show. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Yeah. This is fun doing these on my long run days, at least.
I was going to ask you, did you do another long run today before?
14 miles today. I know I did 18 miles last week, but it's just the nature of things. My schedule has me doing 14, but next week I do 20.
Mm. Yeah. Well, wow. Geez.
Because you're getting close. The actual date is coming up on us, isn't it?
Yeah, it's December 11th, so it's a month away.
Okay.
Wow. That's not very far at all.
No, it's
I think it's the day the new Halo comes out. Something like
that.
Do you
feel ready? Are you ready?
Yeah. Are you ready
for
Halo?
There's still some details to work out. Not details like that makes it sound like logistics, but there's still some tweaking to my run to work out. Like things, it would be tough for me to complete the marathon if I went today.
Sure.
But I'm working on it. I did improve today. I'm just working on my pacing and fueling.
Yeah. Do you worry about that whole runner's guts thing where your guts are like suddenly going off and you got to poo? I always hear about this with runners.
That's a real serious thing.
Yeah, it's a thing, right? Like a legit problem a lot of them have. Mm-hmm.
That and the bleeding nipples.
Yeah. Yeah, I've taken care of that, though. Yeah. I don't have to deal with that.
He removed his nipples.
You ever heard of Body Glide?
No. I assumed you removed it.
Some of that in that drawer.
Yeah.
Oh. It's like a deodorant stick of just like like lubricant that you just rub where you need it.
I'm just going to take mine off. If I ever run, I'm just removing my nipples. I'm done.
If
you don't
off,
use Body Glide, your shirt will do that for you.
That's true. I just don't know what I need them for.
Big circles in the front of your shirt around your nipples.
That's a good idea.
Where did I see that? That's in something. The Office or something?
Some porn, probably.
No, it's like The Office or something. Didn't somebody cut holes out?
Oh, yeah, that's really familiar.
Because his nipples are bleeding in a company-wide marathon run thing.
I can see... whatever his name is, the manager on The Office doing that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think what you're doing is amazing and it's making us all seem lame. So well done on that.
No. Don't feel lame. This is really hard. you should not feel any shame for not wanting to run a marathon. People that run marathons are crazy and shouldn't do it.
Yeah. It just shouldn't happen. But here you are doing it. I think that's great. Well, all right. I got a quick question for you before we dive into whatever topic you brought with it. Would you like to hear this email real quick from somebody?
Absolutely.
All right. This is kind of a bit of a, throwing this in front of the road here and not, having no idea what it is. This is from Mrs. Taffy Guy. She wrote in and says, "Hello all. When Brian brought up some info he and Tina learned about during her chemo about mustard and leg cramps, which does help. My question is why and why does it work? Now, if you don't know this off the top of your head, we can like research it and do it next week. But do you know why mustard is good for the leg cramps and the whatnot while you're going through chemo?
No, I don't. If I had to guess, it might have to do with what do you call it? Like there's a certain it's not magnesium. It's
the turmeric.
Something else.
The turmeric in mustard is.
Oh, is that supposed
to be? Yeah, and there's an element in there. Most things that help with leg cramps, the way that they help is because they are making a chemical more available that helps the neuron that controls muscle tensing and relaxing. They make something more available that to make it so that your muscle will let go again. So I think a lot about cramping because I run, right? Whenever cramping happens, what a cramp literally is your muscle has decided to flex and it's contracting to do its thing. And then in a normal functioning muscle, when it does its thing normally, that's caused because an action potential, which is just the signal that travels down your neuron. Oh. The action potential goes.
Yeah.
It changes things, and then some chemical is pumped back into the neuron. And the name of it is, I can't think of off the top of my head, is the only thing. And anyway, I think it's potassium actually. Okay. But anyway, potassium is used to go into the neuron to allow the muscle to relax. But when that doesn't happen, when there's not enough potassium available, your muscle won't relax. And so that's what a cramp is.
Yeah.
There may be other reasons why cramping happens, though. So the short answer is I don't know, but I will find out. I'll let you know next
week.
Okay,
we'll have a fuller picture. The idea, my point is, if I go get a yellow thing of mustard and go right into my mouth, I shouldn't do that until I've heard back on this issue.
Yes, yeah. Please don't do it until you hear whether or not it's good for your cramps.
Okay.
Yeah. Tally corrected me. It's not. It's the other way. It's sodium in potassium, so it's not potassium.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Potassium, I know, is like always. Someone always says potassium. Potassium, but that's like not a wives' tale, but like the potassium in a banana is supposed to be good for your cramps or your headaches or whatever, right? Or I've heard that before.
I've heard that before too. I've not looked into whether it's true or not though.
But you're not supposed to jam it up your butt, is what I learned.
This is correct. Yes. Yeah. Don't do that.
Peeled or otherwise. Peeled or otherwise, I've learned both ways.
I don't shame people for what they do. So.
No, you don't. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I don't feel judged.
Whichever condiment you want to use is okay
by
us.
You. You use it. Look, if you got mustard and you're using it for
vegetables or fruit or whatever.
Right, exactly. You be you. We'll be us. All right. Hey, Bobby, what'd you actually bring along with you today?
I saw something interesting in the news that is very related to science and medical science, but I got to ask you a question first.
Go.
All right. Are either of you interested in donating your body to science? This is not a sales pitch, by the way.
100%.
What's it going to take to put you into an organ donor vehicle?
100%. They can take me. Yeah, no problem.
Same here. Yep. I don't care. Use me for whatever pieces, parts you need.
So what if, couple of follow-up questions. What if it wasn't, what if your body was not going to be used in a lab or by students?
Instead, how would they use it?
Well, how would it be used? Is it for a Weekend at Bernie's sequel that I don't know about?
What if it was? So what if it's just being dissected, but it's in like a theater type setting with an audience?
That's fun. I don't care. When I'm dead, you can do whatever you want with me. Like put me in that traveling museum where everyone's muscles are on the outside and they're all petrified bodies. I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Didn't I just hear about this somewhere where somebody did that and people paid thousands of dollars to watch somebody get dissected?
Well, that might be the news.
Is that where
story
you're going?
That I'm leading to, because what happened was there was a man who donated his body to science. His wife was seeing to that, making sure that it happened. And it turned out that that a company had his body at an event to do like a public dissection for like demonstration purposes, and sold tickets to it for as much as $500.
Yeah.
And a ticket. And this lady, whose husband's body was supposed to be donated for science, is none too pleased about it.
This is not what I signed up for.
Right. So it got me thinking about that, and I wondered if this is something that happens, and I started looking into, because I was curious, how do you donate your body to science, and what actually happens afterwards? Like, everybody just talks about it like it's just a thing you do.
Right,
like,
you just do. Yeah. How did, you know, I would think that if you donate, if you earmark your body and say, or you put it on your driver's license that, I'm an organ donor, donate my body to science, that there's some sort of like it goes to somebody specific that the that all funeral homes have an arrangement with, mm-hmm. Or maybe the hospitals or whatever, crematoriums. It's dealt with, and then the rest of the stuff comes back to the funeral home, the crematorium, whatever, for if you want to be cremated or have a casket or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I figure that there's always like some, like it goes to somebody official before it just gets put on the open market for somebody to buy up and say, I'm going to charge $500 a ticket for dissecting at the Oriental Theater. Mm.
Interesting. Well, I know that organ donation, I think, is a little bit different than donating your body to science, I think. But also, okay. I think it very much depends on how it's done and how you go about it. This lady, what she did, she wanted to donate her husband's body to LSU, Louisiana State University. And they didn't want his body because he died of COVID, which makes sense. But she still wanted to honor her husband's wishes. He was like a 98-year-old war veteran, and he, like, you know, at the end had always said, like, this would be my one last act of patriotism, to donate my body to science. So she found a company out of southern Nevada called MedEd Labs, and she gave it to them. She donated it to them.
I assume the Ed is for education and not a dude named Ed.
Just dude named Ed.
Yeah. I want it to be that.
It's owned by MedEd.
I'm MedEd.
Well, it might be, because apparently they sold the body to another company, to deathscience.org.
Death Science.
Who then held a quote, oddities and curiosities event in Portland, Oregon, with this guy's body and sold tickets to it.
Wow.
And apparently this happens a lot. There are things called body brokers that people donate bodies to, and then they get sold mm-hmm. to other places, and people make a profit off of this. And I think that's, I had no idea. I'm seeing a lot of people in the, well, LSU did not sell the body. Dice Tomato asked and said, LSU sold the body? ? No. LSU never got the body. Mm-hmm. She wanted to give it to a university, and she couldn't because they wouldn't take it.
Yeah. It's funny because we actually went to, oh, there we go. I did it. See, it's funny. I said it right there. I said, it's funny because, but
oh, you did do it. I didn't even notice it.
I just caught myself doing it.
Yeah.
We went to the Curiosities. This is funny because it's coincidental. We just went to that Curiosities and Oddities Expo when it passed through Colorado. And they did have a stage set up in the back. All we got was just some dude picking up heavy weights with his nipples. But we could have had somebody actually dissecting a human body. Although we really just paid $20 to be there. I don't think we paid $500. So
yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
So apparently the problem with all this is that the market for cadavers is I guess the proper term. The market is completely unregulated. There's no federal laws regulating the sale of cadavers or parts.
It's a state by state thing, right? Like different states do different things, I would assume.
So there are a couple of states, very few states, that have laws governing who can operate businesses that perform the dissections. But it varies widely from state to state if there are any regulations at all. Basically, it seems like anybody can do this. I think in Nevada, there's like it seems like anybody can do this. Because the articles that I read, a lot of the like exposés that were done all came from Nevada.
go figure.
Yeah. And a lot of people compare this to grave robbers from the 19th century. It's just modern day, because people back then would dig up bodies out of graves and then do the same thing with them, pass them around, sell them, hold events to dissect bodies
that documentary Frankenstein is all about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never seen it. I'll have to check it out. Is it on Netflix?
Have to check that one out. Yeah, it's on Netflix, that documentary Frankenstein.
Yeah, the Frankenstein documentary. I was in so when I was in college, we did trips up to the university medical center, and they would have cadavers that I assume were I don't know. Maybe they were homeless and unaccounted for, or maybe they were, maybe they had consented to this. So now that we talk about this,
sure, they were on the up and up.
I always assume so.
Where it was at, yeah.
But we'd go up there and they would lay cadavers or parts of cadavers out in front of us, and we, that's where we'd like draw muscle structure and like bone muscle tissue, and it was kind of gross for a lot of us. I thought it was fascinating. I loved doing it. But they, you know, we did a full, thigh dissection, something. Anyway, this guy had his leg all flayed open, and we were supposed to like figure out muscle structure and how they attach to femur and and all of that. And at the time, I remember thinking, I'll be this guy. It's fine. I'll do this. Rip me open and draw me. Mm-hmm. That sounds great. But I don't care. Like, my kids can decide, I guess, what they want to do when I go. Sure. But it's fine. Lay me out. Let me help somebody further their cool career, or, you know, learn how to do anatomy, or find out why my, right, you know, heart is purple, or whatever it is, you know, go for it. You know?
Yeah. Like, you know, you're not going to like the funeral stuff and all that. That's not for you anyway, right? That's for the people that are.
Right. Unless Betty Crocker's involved.
Yeah, good point. Someone in the chat says that seems like overkill for a drawing course. Well, it wasn't a course. It was like one day of that unit we went up there and drew bodies that were already out for medical study stuff. They weren't like doing it just for the art.
Right.
They were like, exactly. You know, they had I'll never forget this. They had a vat of heads.
Oh, geez, really?
Yeah. Wow. Great big, and it all smelled like it's like hardcore formaldehyde in there. But they had a big, big round steel, I don't know what, with just heads in there. And I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why they had just heads.
Because don't just leave them out.
Got to put them somewhere.
Got to put them somewhere, Scott.
To this day, I remember that being crazy. Really freaky. And no one could really explain it to me. And we moved past it to go to the other part of the thing. But that was a long time ago. This is like 91 or something, 92. Anyway.
Yeah. So I just thought all of that was fascinating. I'd never even thought about it before. So admittedly, I did a very shallow dive into this kind of topic. Just I thought it would be interesting to bring up and talk about. I wanted to cover it on the next episode of the podcast that we record. And so what I'm going to ask is, because there are several people either correcting me in the chat or telling me that they know a lot about it. If you do, I would absolutely love anybody in the chat or anybody who listens to this afterward. If you do know about this kind of thing, about body brokers and cadavers and donation to science and everything, email me at contact@allaroundscience.com. Give me as much information as you have, because I would love to talk about this on the show. And when I do the podcast proper, All Around Science, I like to get as much of the details right as I can.
So. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. And we're never going to, obviously, you know, there'll be things on this show where we get something slightly wrong, but we love having people write in and let us know. So that's awesome. Yeah. Yep. Well, very cool. Take my body. I'm good. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Don't care.
My body.
I have no vanity about that. I don't know if that's weird or not, but I just
leave me enough for my brownie mix is all.
Yeah,
Scott
just
says.
Enough for exactly. And all you need for that, Brian, is like a hand or something. You don't need all of me. You just take a hand or a couple fingers, dry those out, mash them into your brownie mix, feed it to old people. All my needs are met. But honestly, I don't understand.
Can we dry out your hand like jerky style and shave it into the brownie?
Totally. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, put cheese grater in there, whatever, man. I don't care. Make me a fine powder. Turn me into a fine, refined. What's the coffee that's the real refined stuff? But really caffeinated. Espresso.
Espresso?
Yeah. Okay. Fine. That kind of powdery, almost like powdered sugar consistency. I want to be like that finely ground up, and then put me in brownies. I'm ready.
Yep.
All right.
Always a pleasure. Don't forget, All Around Science is a podcast, and it's great, and Bobby hosts it, and it's great. So you should check it out. Bobby, tell people where to get it and what you're talking about next.
Well, you can get it at allaroundscience.com. If you don't want to type in contact@allaroundscience.com, by the way, for that email, we have a form on the website. It'll go to the same place if you just want to type in there. But allaroundscience.com, or just find, you know, it's a podcast called All Around Science. Presumably, if you're listening to this, you know how to find a podcast.
And I would hope.
Maybe. Yeah.
But maybe not. Maybe not. I don't want to be presumptuous. but yeah, check out that. This topic, I think, is going to come up. We just got done talking about the episode that came out yesterday was about water bears. Do you know what water bears?
Never heard of a water bear.
No. Yeah, like little weird looking little water creatures with these.
The thalidomide.
Claws that come out to the sides.
Thalidomide? What are you
No, hold on. Flinaflies.
Tardigrades, I think.
Tardigrades.
Tardigrades, that's it. Flopamides.
Yeah. Thalidomide is something completely different.
Yeah, that's a different thing, right? Isn't that like a kid with just a head and no arms or something?
That was essentially what caused the FDA to get made. It was a whole thing about a drug that caused a bunch of, I think, miscarriages.
Was it miscarriages? Uh-oh. I thought there were babies, like thalidomide babies that were like, they came out with just like...
A bunch of pregnant women took a drug and it hadn't been tested well enough and it caused... so no, not miscarriages. Yeah, I think they were just
birth defects.
Like somehow deformed. I don't know what the
birth defects. Like instead of an arm, your hand just started at the shoulder, or you know, you'd have an eye on the back of your head or something like that. I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe
exactly.
I may have those details wrong, but anyway. Good luck to those people. Awesome. Check it out. All Around Science. Thalidomides not be damned. It's a thing you can check out. Bobby, it's always a pleasure. Enjoy the rest of your week of running, and we'll see you next time.
See you next week.
Bye.
See you.
Sometimes I should shut up. I do want to check out this Pikmin thing. Pikmin Bloom.
Yeah. All right.
I might try it, Brian. I don't know. I'm like growing stuff, you know, and...
There you go.
Trying to walk more. I don't know. All right, we'll see. That's it for today's show. I want to thank everybody within the sound of my voice for being here, for whether you're here live or you're checking the show out later. And there's plenty of that in our world. And I like that a lot. Please, if you would, continue to do so. And for those of you who support the show monetarily via our Patreon, gigantic thanks to you, because without you guys, I mean, I don't even know where we'd be. I know that we wouldn't be doing this as much as we do it. I can guarantee you that, because you know, wouldn't pay the bills, but because you guys are there and helping us, it totally is. For example, I'm going to give just a couple of names here.
Sure.
Here we go. I'd like to thank Gino Parma for the getting in on the Deal Me In level, which is an awesome one. We love that. Joined on the 9th of this month. Cyphers at the grade A plus level, and Ben Diaz at the grade A plus level. Thank you guys all for joining up recently. And
you guys are the best.
Yeah, you guys are the best. Brian, I think we're done. Oh, that's patreon.com/TMS, by the way, this thing I'm talking about. We should get out of here, though, and we should do a song while we're at it. So, hey, why don't you pull one of those out?
It's the law. Harold Combs wrote in and said, "Hi, guys. Came to TMS in 2020 to listen to during my COVID sanity walks when I was quarantined with my wife and daughters. You guys keep me sane. Proud to be a patron and tadpooler when I can." Nice. "Today marks my 43rd trip around the sun, and September marked my 16th year of marriage. When I'd go visit my wife in college, I'd always blast Guns N' Roses' Sweet Child of Mine on I-64 to Louisville at about 90 miles an hour. I'll defer to Coverville, but I appreciate any cover he finds fitting or worthy of that song. Best, Harold Combs. Yes, it's my real name."
Oh, nice. Or happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
And the anniversary part, which I don't have a thing for. So
happy anniversary to you too.
There you go. Nailed it.
I can't believe I've never played this version on the show before. My God, this thing is the best. This is like... This is as if Erasure did a cover of Sweet Child of Mine. This thing is so dang good, but a female vocal. This is a band called Flat Pack, and it's a single that they released back in 2005. Easily my favorite cover of Sweet Child of Mine. Here is Flat Pack, Sweet Child of Mine. We'll be right back.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
No, duh.